Hey, good morning, everybody. Today is one of my most favorite podcasts of the month. I get to talk to my favorite Bulgarian, Irina Slav. She's an energy writer, authoress, humorist, comedian, stand-up comedian, and just I love her opinions. My name's Stu Turley, President and CEO of the Sandstone Group, and welcome to the Energy Newsbeat podcast. Thank you, Irina, for stopping by from Bulgaria.
It's always a pleasure to, you know,
and
see you.
You and I were just chit-chatting before the show, and I'm not a big fan of politicians. I think you know that.
Neither am I, so
I don't care if you're in the U.S., Republican, Democrat. I don't care. I don't like you if you're a politician. I think they're all scumbags. But have you heard about the train wrecks that have been going on in the U.S.?
Yes, and the fires at factories. What's going on?
There are conspiracy theorists out there that are saying that it's probably either the government or the Russians retaliating for us potentially shooting the evidently blowing up. There's accusations that the United States blew up Nord Stream 2. Have you heard those?
Yeah.
So when you start taking a look at all the goofy things going on in the world, I used to not believe in conspiracy theories. I'm now kind of going, there's some truth into some of those. So I don't know what to believe. We've had over 220 food factories in the last year blow up, suddenly just start. So just like the Dutch, I think there's some real issues attacking the food supplies. But all that's, you know, we're going to just let the conspiracy theorists, let them kind of, because I can only control what I can control. But
well, there will be or there won't be evidence eventually. So
exactly. There's no reason to worry about it. But I'm not a sheep sitting in the corner, you know, waiting for wolf to chew on me. Here's something. And I'm going to call him a chowderhead. A chowderhead is absolutely one of the lowest things I can call somebody. And I'm going to make sure I speak nicely into the mic for my podcast listeners on that. I'm moving the mic closer. President Biden is a chowderhead. Okay. Just I want to make sure there's no thing. He goes to Ukraine and he goes to Ukraine and then he stands up there, Irene, and they have a fake air raid siren. Did that come across?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Oh my
God. I read about that. Yeah.
What did Europe think about a fake air raid when this man staggering across like a zombie?
Well, it probably looks more heroic that he's there despite the fact that it's a war zone and there's an air raid siren going off. I don't know. It's all about appearances. I mean,
The left wing nut job fake media, they were all like, he's there during a war zone. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. The skies are blue, the trees, you know, the birds are tweeting and, you know, everything else. But the funny thing is, in the U.S., everybody's upset because he didn't even go to the border. He's not gone to our crisis. We now have.
Yeah, I heard about crisis. That. That's really not very smart of his entourage. What do you call the people who service him and plan his moves? That wasn't smart. Yeah.
No, and he's not even going to the train wrecks or anything. I mean, he's not a leader. And so I want your opinion on this from a European. And last time I checked, Bulgaria is in Europe, right?
Yeah.
Just thought I'd check. But the beloved chowderhead was talking to the Polish folks, and I love Poland. I love all people. I'm not a fan of governments. And the Polish President Biden says, oh, we shot down three balloons that were U.S. commercial balloons. And then he turns around and he walks out. And he has an open mic and he says to his aide, do you think those blank bastards believed it? He called the Polish people sons of bitches. I'm serious.
Really?
Yes. On the open mic. I'll have to go fact check myself. But he swore about the stupid sons of guns or bitches, whatever he said. I got to go fact check myself. But he did cuss and he did call the Polish people a bad thing. And then the aide said, yes, they're stupid. I'm like, you can't.
They don't know he's got an open mic. Really?
He did not know. You cannot do that as a U.S. president.
Insult. You can't do it as a polite human being.
I mean, thank you. And as a U.S. citizen, I'm embarrassed because I love the Europeans. I love Indians. I love, you know, the folk. I just like people. Yeah. And for him to insult folks, just.
Yeah, why would he do that? I mean, Poland is 150% behind the U.S. in everything it does in Europe. Exactly. Why would you do that to Polish people? And what do they care about these balloons who are first unidentified objects, and we're not calling them balloons because, for a reason, or what was it? And suddenly they're balloons. Still, that was the silliest story ever.
Wasn't it dumb? Now, the Chinese balloon floating over, that was evil, because that thing was as big as the body underneath it was as big as a small jet. It was huge. And in 2018, China developed hypersonic nuclear war missiles that could be deployed and were successfully deployed from a balloon.
So, yeah, but do you not have defenses, air defenses? Come on.
Okay, we have my dad is a fighter pilot.
Oh, right.
Years ago went up and intercepted one. Okay.
You don't just miss them. Yeah.
No, you shot them down even back then. And you can shoot them down no matter how high they are. You can't tell me.
Of course you can.
Come on. You know, anyway. I just think it's stupid. And so the only thing, he's a chowderhead. That goes back to the first comments.
does this refer to the consistency of his brain? Is that what chowderhead means?
Yes, his brain power. That's what we've always. I'm taking it
pretty literally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful phrase.
Oh, and then clam chowder is a English, a New England dish.
Yeah, yeah. I've
heard heavy about cream it. And it looks like a brain that's mashed up and everything else. That's where chowderhead actually came from in our family. So a mushed up brain is probably the best English translation for that.
Mm, yeah.
So
not delicious.
Oh, yeah. Brains. Now, surviving a zombie apocalypse, I think, is what we're going to have to do. And
promise? Because I've been waiting for actual proper zombies for years, and instead we get what? We get brainwashed people.
Yeah, or COVID, you know? I mean.
Oh, yeah, COVID, yeah.
The next COVID vaccine is probably going to have, what do you think, zombie apocalypse things.
I have no idea. Maybe we've seen so many movies and so many TV shows about zombie apocalypses, and we're getting a very different kind of a zombie apocalypse.
Right.
It was real disappointment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're just getting left-wing people over here. And I think you can go too far right, you can go too far left, but leave your opinions in your house. Not your opinions. I like hearing everybody, but don't force your opinions on other people.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's about as mean as I want to be.
Yeah. No, that's not mean. I agree with you, but people feel compelled to, you know, share their opinions.
In Bulgaria, are they having violent attacks breaking out in schools?
Not that I know of. There is an increase in the violence among children, among school children. It's been going on for years.
Okay.
But anything out of this now trend?
Right.
I don't know. Something exceptionally bad. I don't know.
It's going nuts in the U.S. and it's despicable. I mean, there are people that are in the disproportionately impacted communities or going around beating up just defenseless people. And it just
like that.
Huh? Just for
just nothing. Like that.
Yeah. And it's going all over the U.S. It's despicable. So I don't know.
Why do you think this is?
Socially, I think it's because of the broken families in the U.S. There's a lot of, you know, the trend is to single parenting. But let's get back to energy just for fun.
Yeah, sure.
Now that we've solved the world's problems, you know, socially,
On a lighter note, let's talk about energy.
Yeah, let's talk about energy. What a bunch of chatterheads and energy. Oh, my goodness. There's two articles that came out. One was yesterday, I believe it was on, it wasn't Bloomberg, but it was Germany is doubling down again on stupid. And there's a lot to be said for doubling down and tripling down on stupid. You can't print money, Irina, to pay for renewable that is not sustainable and is higher electricity prices. They're saying they need to go 80% renewable. Didn't they just go through a really bad scenario because they were trying to do renewable and the wind didn't work and electricity?
No, you've got it wrong. They had the crisis because of Russia. It's not because of renewables. It was because of their dependence on Russia. Now they're independent of Russia for gas, and they're dependent on the United States for gas. And that's a good thing, and they're going to build more wind and solar. I mean, what's so hard to understand about that? They didn't have enough renewables. That was the problem.
But all their wind power didn't provide enough.
Well, we don't talk about this. Well, when I say we, I mean the Germans, I guess, the German government. I'm sure they don't talk about it.
Oh.
Because it's not really convenient. And somebody had done a screenshot of electricity maps.
Yeah.
With Germany, how wind power output went from over 20 gigawatts to just 4 gigawatts in a matter of hours over a single day.
Yeah. And then, so energy storage and renewables, I've really enjoyed getting to know the grid numbers and why the grid is physics. You know, physics don't lie. You know, it's kind of like, unless you're a supernatural being or something like that where you can bend physics, I don't know. But I don't know that anybody's going to be supernatural and put just because they want to put a grid in. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at your Stephen King book. Maybe we can come up with a supernatural being that creates a new grid and charges electrical prices. What do you think?
I don't know.
That's about the only way I think you could get around physics.
Maybe.
I don't know. But, it seems like that's what they're hoping for. I don't know. Maybe we write a book.
I don't know. I think they refuse to face facts and physics. And they're going to do this for as long as they are allowed to do this.
That's
a problem for everyone who uses electricity in these countries, in Europe.
Last year, I was interviewing Ben Samuels, super nice guy. And we were talking about some of these very same things. And I had said, the general population is going to have a great awakening in 2023. I'm almost brilliant. I have to look around and go, am I in the same guy that's in this room? Because I said, our stuff is going to become so bad that we're going to go two ways. People are going to wake up and go, that's not real smart. Or we're going to sit here and follow along. So I think there's a great awakening coming along with people realizing they can't have their renewables. I mean, I'm seeing it all like BP this past week. They're saying, oh, we're not going to be investing as much in renewables.
Guess why?
Yeah, there's not enough profitability in it. And I saw so many people's heads blow up on the internet and everything else. BP's not investing more in renewables.
So now everyone, from the activist camp is getting louder and louder and more urgent in their calls. But I'm sorry, I have to say that I disagree with you. I don't think this great awakening is happening this year. I mean, we expected Europeans to go out in mass protests against their electricity bills. It didn't happen in the scale that I hoped it would happen. So governments would reconsider the energy policies. So I'm kind of pessimistic about this year too.
Right.
But maybe sooner or later it will happen. Probably after they start rationing energy. I don't know. Did you hear about this idea?
No, tell me about it.
Wartime style rationing. A team of researchers from Britain, they wrote a paper in which they propose rationing as a way to move towards net zero, in a more orderly and faster fashion. apparently. Wow. To them, that's a brilliant idea. As long as everybody is victim of rations, you know, as long as it's fair, as long as everybody suffers, it's going to be okay. And they're pointing to the Second World War in Britain,
right,
as an example, because sure, war, climate emergency, same thing. But the genius part of this idea is that people would accept rationing if there is a scarcity of resources or products or energy. But you can't just rely on markets to supply scarcity. So governments should create artificial scarcity of resources and products, so people would accept the idea of rationing. Isn't that a brilliant idea, Stu?
I'm going to call that guy a chowderhead.
I mean, three of them.
I'm going to call them a joint chowderhead. I mean, this is like I don't get it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's what's going to happen. In the UK, could you imagine the royal family going without power for 15 minutes?
Totally. Absolutely. They'll be fine, especially King Charles. He's so green, you know, his organic garden and all his climate advocacy. I'm sure he'll be totally fine to have electricity for 4 hours in total every day, you know.
I'm not sure if chowderhead's the right word, but I saw a video on him where he was mad at his assistant for not moving the pen on his desk.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And you know what?
I'm a very Republican person, so you can't expect me to be objective about it.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm just telling you, if I ever won the lottery or I ever made it big, I'm not having people move my stuff. I'm not going to change. I could care less. Everybody says, oh, they're not going to change. No, I don't think you and I would be that bad. Might get a little worse, but, you know.
But yeah, it depends on the person. Definitely.
Yeah, that is low treating people that way. I don't.
Well, he is royal.
I don't give a.
And he takes himself pretty seriously, apparently. Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see that, but,
He goes to the bathroom like most people.
Yeah.
And it stinks, I bet.
True. Okay. Yeah.
That's about as swearing as we're going to get on here, because while this is not, I mean, this is supposedly a family show, but we can keep it like G-rated. okay. So we've talked about the hypocrisy of the everything. We've solved the world's problems. And your article on the EU carbon prices, it just came out on oilprice.com. And I love all of your articles because I steal all your material and then I write it on my articles and stuff. But what are your just overall thoughts on carbon pricing?
I think it's lovely. It's great that carbon prices hit 100 euros per ton. Because I remember a couple of years ago, European Union officials were arguing that carbon permits need to be a lot more expensive in order to motivate, industrial energy users to decarbonize. So this is great news. I don't know what your first reaction was to that report, but this is actually absolutely great news, because now industrial energy users will just have to cut their emissions. I actually wrote a Substack about it sometime last year, I think. Can't remember. It was a long time ago, in which I made this same argument, which is the argument made by European Union officials.
Right.
We need to make carbon emissions prohibitively expensive in order to motivate companies to spend more on decarbonization. And now is the best time to have these emissions become super expensive, because I'm sure you know that industrial energy users across the European Union had such a blast with the energy crisis. They didn't suffer at all. They didn't see their electricity bills and energy bills skyrocket. So they're flush with cash, which they can now invest in decarbonizing their operations.
And is that why there's a big move out of Europe right now for like Volkswagen and others?
I have no idea why this is happening. It's a true mystery.
Are you trying not to get blocked by the UN again like we did last year?
I'm telling you, see, I've had it up to here with the European Union and their stupid energy policies. And it's because it's the regular people who suffer. It won't be the president of the European Commission who will have to spend half of her income on paying her electricity bill. It will be all of us.
Exactly.
99%. And that's just, that's not a nice prospect for me.
No.
Not at all.
I think I'm getting airsick. Just kidding. But this brings up a great point. Everybody needs to follow you on your Substack. They need to follow you with the energy transition. That is a fantastic. Every Monday morning, we'll make sure try to make sure everybody knows you're actually getting really, really good 400 views or something like that on YouTube. But on your energy transition page, there's actually a lot of people spending time on that page.
Oh, that's great. So,
oh, you guys are rock stars. But let me ask you this. They're now looking at, real quickly, we're about out of time, and that is they're about to put in sanctions on European uranium and nuclear. Have you seen that?
Well, I saw that there's talk about it, but yeah, there's no replacement uranium sources the way there are with oil. So let them talk.
Okay. If 50%, I believe, in quote, and you always do a great job. Let me know when I'm wrong. And then you let me know and go, hey, Stuart, you're wrong. Go sit in the corner. You're in timeout, something like that. But 50% of the enriched uranium, I believe, is available through Russia in the world. Is that somewhere in that range? I mean, there's a good chunk of
Russia is a dominant player on the uranium market. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, if you look at all the sanctions that the European Union has been leveling at Russia, you would see that not a lot of thought went into them.
Right.
Because I think the effects, the boomerang effects, are manifesting themselves pretty clearly.
Right.
And Russia is turning surprisingly resilient. Well, the surprise is just because you're ignorant. It would not have been a surprise had you, follow developments had you paid attention, but because you don't pay attention and you think that whatever you want to happen will happen, that's when you do stupid things like that, not just with regard to sanctions, with regard to energy policies in general.
Wow. Well, Irina, I absolutely treasure our monthly talk and update from Bulgaria and love chit-chatting with you. And I can't wait till next month. But I'll tell you what, thank you so much for your industry thought leadership, your humor. I think I'm your biggest cheerleader over here in the U.S.
You are. Thanks for that. You're great.
So thank you very much. And
always a pleasure.
Talk to you soon.